Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, buddy. Oh, here we go. Welcome to Wake Up 911 Radio. Welcome to Wake Up World Radio. My name is James Easton. I'm your host, and today I have with me Doug Michael, a frequenter of the show. How are you, Doug?
I'm good, James. How are you doing today?
I'm pretty good. Did some laundry and picked up some groceries. And anyways, so the September 23rd came and went,
yes.
And we're still here. What's going on?
You got to really be careful. A lot of these kind of predictions are planted into the alternative media by they always want to keep you kind of running in circles.
Right. Yeah, well, I was thinking about that. Everything is sort of cyclical in a way.
Heard about the 28th, which is the fourth blood moon,
right.
With something to go down. But, you know, again, that's why I personally don't get into the business of making predictions too much. Because there's so much disinformation, there's so much of the truth movement that's been co-opted by this force, so it's difficult to start to stay
right
on top of it.
Well, I want to talk about the grand scheme of things, the whole picture. I think that it's actually very simple, and it's like one piece of cheese divided up into a million. But it's just one piece of cheese, really. And it's a simple formula. It's like deceive, lie, cheat, steal, murder. And we're under the impression that that's wrong. But that's what they do. You know what I mean?
Yep.
This
ruling class elite, they are doing a phenomenal job at, you know, creating a totalitarian superstate. I mean, we see it here. And I was just watching, actually, before I got into the show today. I don't know if you're familiar with Ken O'Keefe. He's a former Iraqi war vet. And
right.
He's very, very vocal about the Israeli genocide in Palestine and about 9/11. And he's got a whole show of an hour and a half or so that he dedicated to 9/11. He was bringing up a lot of very good points about how the entire face of society has changed since 9/11. In other words, we have this ongoing war on terror. We have this just absolute annihilation of the Middle East. We could not have had these things without that single event. So for the elite, this event was like the catalyst for them to really move into high gear. And, you know, I think that there's a lot of things going on that people really need to pay attention to.
Well, I think that it's very clear. Like, I'm standing on a green circle, and I'm free. I'm okay. I'm a human entity in the universe. I do not subscribe. I do not consent. And I'm free of the matrix. And I am free because I know what freedom is, true freedom.
Yes.
And you're like that too, right? You're on your own green circle.
Oh, absolutely.
Everybody else is on a big red dot, a huge one, and they're trapped. It's like they're in a cage, and they can't get out. And this is what we're trying to do, is break the bars and free them. But they're so comfortable in their cage that they don't want to be freed. But some do. Some are eager to
learn.
That's
very,
you know,
true. It's kind of a psychological phenomenon that I've always been interested in. It's like the identification with the object of your enslavement. And a lot of people are existing in that paradigm. It's almost as if, as long as I got mine, I don't care. Don't tell me this. I don't want to know. It's basically the willful ignorance factor, where people will willingly embrace not knowing, as opposed to knowing, because then you'd be faced with the prospect of having to do something about it. It's very, very difficult to bring yourself to awaken. It requires a lot of work. It requires a lot of inner reflection. It requires a ton of reading. No one wants to do that anymore either. But I think the most frustrating part for people like us to try to bring the truth, the ridicule that you're met with and the just ignorance, it's just very frustrating. So, you know, my attitude's changed over the last couple of years. I used to try to be this crusader, wake people up, and I realized that, you know, and I have to definitely give credit to the teacher, Michael Tesori. In fact, I was listening to this interview again last night, and he said something very profound to me. He said, maybe these people need to fall, and for us to get in the way of that is doing them a disservice. He might have a point there. In other words, like, so my attitude is I'll put the information out and let people come to me, and I've noticed a lot of results with that. I'm not going to go out of my way too much to try to, you know, force feed the truth to anyone, because
right.
when I have done that, my experience has always been met with just resistance, ridicule, denial, fear, all of it, and it's just frustrating.
Yeah.
But I think Tesori might have a really legitimate point there. Maybe it's these people's spiritual destiny to fall, and by us propping them up and getting in the way is actually doing them a disservice. I think he's got a great point.
Well, I understand that much. Like, when I first woke up, and I mean, I woke up, I had manic mania. I found God. I saw it and everything, and everything was one. And, you know, all these puzzle pieces made sense, and there was epiphany. It was clarity. And I became what people consider crazy because I had this experience, and they didn't. And now, I kind of felt the need to instigate awakenness to people because of the situation, because we're in big trouble. Like,
absolutely.
I was just casually mentioning yesterday that, you know, it's not getting any better. It's actually getting worse, like much worse every day.
By the day, yep.
They're spilling chemicals on us. They're vaccinating us with mercury. They're giving us GMO foods, which are deadly in some cases, and gives tumors in mice, and you know, all this horrible, awful shit is going on. Nobody's aware. That's a general statement. A lot of people are not aware. That's also a general statement. But
well, not enough. That's sure. Not enough.
That's
right.
And well, I feel the need to usher in a new era of, like, waking up because, and it has worked to a degree. Like, I was screaming, wake up, wake up, wake up, a couple of years back, and now everybody's saying it. Now, I'm not the originator of the idea of waking up, but I did promulgate it into a new era, new level of comprehension where it's all over Facebook memes, and people are, it's sort of like a catchphrase. It's a catchphrase of the awake generation. The ones who subscribe to it are seemingly noble in heart. Now, the truth is, and I read the Quran in the second book called The Cow, it says, there are those who will say that they are awake, but they are not. And they are lying deceivers. It's sort of like saying, I'm free, and you're not. You know? So that's my counterpoint, is that in spite of the fact that it is better, I agree with, what's his name, Tesorian? It's an individual's choice, and hence there's that old adage, lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink.
Right.
But if my argument is, lead the horse to water, leave him there, and he's going to get thirsty, and he's going to want to drink at some point, you know, like, so lead the horse to the water, damn it. And, yeah,
no,
let them.
I do feel responsible to put this information. I think my point was that these golems, these willfully ignorant automatons, it's just a waste of time with them. They don't want to know. They won't be bothered. And, you know, I know you've gotten it, too, where you just get the ridiculous comments from someone who's completely mind-controlled. Until a person is going to admit to themselves, wow, you know, I've been conditioned. Let me reflect and look at my own beliefs. What makes me believe this and think this way? But a lot of people just don't want to do that. It's too hard. And plus, I understand, too, in our culture, you know, people are working 2-3 jobs just to put bread on the table. They don't have time to pick up a book, let alone, you know, do the laundry or whatever. So I understand that, too. But then researchers like us come along and simplify it, make it easily digestible for them, and they still want nothing to do with it. You know, Dancing with the Stars is on, or whatever the hell is on TV these days.
Survivor.
We're just so enthralled with our distractions and consumerism and the media and all this shit. And, you know, people will rather be a willing slave and embrace the distraction than to really open their eyes and look what's going on. And it's, we are in a very precarious time. I just don't see the American economy lasting much longer as it stands. I don't, you know, what was it, like 900 people murdered by cops in this country last year? We've become a complete militarized police state. And it's insane. How do you not want to wake up to this? Because I would go so far as to say that America will be the country that either makes it or breaks it. If we fall into the pit, the rest of the world's going to follow. We're armed here. So it really is up to us to stand up against tyranny.
Damn straight,
and the
brother.
Ones that refuse, I'm telling you, James, the ones that refuse to open their eyes will get in the way when action's required. They'll march willingly into a FEMA camp, and they'll, you know, shun the truth speakers because they don't have the balls themselves to do it. So those people, I don't even want to bother with them personally. And that might be a bad attitude. I don't know. But I have seen an enormous amount of results just kind of putting it out there and letting the people come to it. You know, so that's kind of my stance. But I hear what you're saying, too. It is a numbers game in large part. And right now we don't have the numbers on our side. It's very few that even want to be bothered with looking at this information.
Now. well, I just say that because you just can't be sure. You don't know who's in the woodwork and who's awake already and who, you know. Like, I just moved to the country, and I'm living with a couple people, and they're not awake, per se. They're not in tune. They watch the news. They watch TV shows. They watch, you know, regular stuff. They buy the regular food, regular everything. In fact, one's a proponent of GMO, and he's a farmer, and every farmer around here is. It's been induced in them, and that they, if they want to be more productive and more successful, they need to buy Monsanto or whatever. And that's the culture here. It's obviously maligned. But now, I mean, if I start, you know, saying that's wrong, this is wrong, you know, and getting in their way and, you know, trying to reorient them, they'll feel like, you know, I'm messing with them. And so I won't waste my time. I will in subtle inferences to a certain degree, you know, inject my truth into their paradigm so that they can maybe have a chance to see it another way. But I guess what I'm saying is people, what I really wanted to say was that people in the world are waking up, not in dribs and drabs here and there, but it can congeal. And it's a process, and while this process is going on, people are getting murdered, cities are getting destroyed, people are being, you know, tortured, raped, just you name it, all the worst fucking horrible shit you can think of, it's happening, and it goes unchecked. There's nothing in the way of this, and the only thing that could really stand in the way of this is a collective global consciousness.
Yes.
And I think we need to work toward that. And, I mean, people like me and you and many, many others are instrumental, but we're kind of not organized. And I would love to take it on my shoulders to try to organize it all. I could. I haven't really decided it. I just thought of it now, but I'm sorry. I keep rambling here, but there was one more thing to say. I would like to actually work with you on a movie, like a short 15-minute sort of wham-bam, thank you, ma'am, the ins and outs of the truth. And, you know, if people want to know, they can have it like that. And,
sure. That sounds fantastic. And
yeah,
you know, you raise a good point. That's the problem with, I think, the people that have unplugged is that we aren't organized. The enemy is very organized. They have a working knowledge of human psychology, which they use against us. They have the will to act. They have the technology, the surveillance technology and everything else on their side. So they're extremely highly organized. That is definitely one of the problems, is that this camp is not. It's coming down to, I think, we better move our asses, because I just, like I said earlier, I just don't know how much longer we have in this country before all this collapses.
Okay, well, in this country also, and in France and Germany and all the Western nations, supposedly like the, you know, the white European nations, and then there's the rest of the world suffering, and like I had this idea, I wanted to draw a sketch, sort of like a Visio diagram, where you draw a circle in the middle and you write the world, and then you draw a line and you're like the bad guys, and then you list all the bad guys, and then you list off all the bad things that the bad guys are doing, and you know, counteracted by the good guys, and you know, just draw all these circles and connect them with lines. And I wanted to rough it out on a piece of paper, and then do like this really cool 3D like fly pass through all this shit, so that it would look. That's the thing. People's interests are only captured if you add explosions and you know what I mean. It's like,
yeah, yeah.
They're in that mode where it has to look really cool in 3D or filmography wise or whatever it's called.
Yeah, which like I said, that's a great skill to have. I don't have that skill with video editing, but it's a good skill. And also, you know, people are more apt to watch a 15-minute video than they are to pick up a 400-page book and read it. And, you know, it's true, but especially here, people are so busy slaving away to the grind that they have no time. So I think the work that we do is important. I always try to definitely make it digestible, simplified enough so that people could digest it. And I've had a great amount of success with it so far. I'm actually very shocked. I thought I'd reach a handful of people. I had no idea it would explode to this level. So it encourages me to keep doing it. And I'm hearing from people all over the English-speaking world, damn near every day, people from Australia or people from Canada, U.S., Ireland, you name it. And I'm getting a lot of positive feedback, so that's a good thing. Your work is incredible. You have this great video editing skills. It's a great skill to have. And I know there's a lot of people out there listening that might have skills. Maybe they're good writers, or maybe they're effective communicators. We have tools available to us, ladies and gentlemen, to utilize to get the message out. So if someone's been like sitting on the knowledge, and I'm guilty of it too. I did for many years. But I needed that outflow. I needed to do something with it. And I almost feel responsible to, you know, share the knowledge that I've gained over the last couple of decades. So if there's anyone out there listening to this that's doing that, I encourage you, take advantage of some of the tools that are available and say what you know, because time is growing very, very thin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I mean, like I said before, with all that's going on, it's not getting any better. It's actually getting much worse daily. Every day gets worse. And the more time we take to act in a intellectual way that's, you know, world-changing, in that we can not just wake people up, but, like, make people aware of the reality and to break free. Once you have enough people on side, the rest of the sheep will be like, they're sheep, they'll follow. And it's a battle for the mind.
It really is. It's a war on consciousness, without a doubt. That is the battlefield of the mind. So winning hearts and minds might, you know, I definitely think that's important too. So, I mean, I try to present my work in a way that's, so there's researchers out there that are very harsh in their approach. Like Mark Pastor, I love his work. I think he's very harsh in his approach, but that's his method, and it works. I'm a little bit different. I'm more of kind of entry level. I always try to gear my work towards people who are just now coming into it, because there's so much to it. There's just so much between false flags and the food additives and that, you know, Fukushima disaster, all these things. Of course, they all connect, but I think for a newcomer, if it's just too overwhelming, they'll shy away. And I've seen over the years people that dabble. They'll dabble a little bit and then say, well, the hell with this, it's too much, and then just go back to their life of distraction. So it's really difficult. You know, the work we do is just, it's difficult. It's very, very difficult. And sometimes I feel like I'm shoveling shit against the tide with a teaspoon. Am I really accomplishing anything, you know? But then when I get the feedback, I realize that I am. And you're right, it's in the pocket. It's definitely not a massive awakening, but it is in dribs and drabs around the world. And I'm seeing that. So that is good news. And I think the elites are scrambling, too. They know that their time here is almost up. So they're really scrambling to get this agenda in place before, you know, a critical number is reached of people who are on the same page and unplugged.
What if we, I want to present this idea to you and have you mull it over. What if we took their playbook and took a page from their playbook and said, okay, let's have a new world order, but it won't be what they're saying. It'll be one world for everybody, you know, for all, no totalitarianism, no dictatorship, no total anarchy, you know, no religion, spirituality, you know, but the entire world as one. And that would be ultimately the ultimate goal for humanity, I think. If you sit down and ask yourself what is progress, it certainly isn't dividing the world up into nations that are run by evil assholes that hoard wealth from other nations and they starve and so on. It would be to make equalize the planet and have everybody living in peace and in harmony. I mean, that is a real feasible potential goal.
It certainly is, and it would be real easy, too. It would be real easy to achieve, but I always stress, James, that that has to begin on the individual level. It must start on the individual first, because it, and I think a big part of the problem is that, kind of like Stockholm Syndrome, the identification with your enslaver, I think the majority of people are scared shitless of what actual freedom is, which would entail personal responsibility and self-governance. They want to be told what to do, how to think, what they should be doing, you know, and that's the attitude I believe that has to be transcended. And I think mutual respect for, I don't give a shit if someone calls himself a Christian or a Muslim or an atheist, just don't impose your will on me. And if we all live by that respect for one another, I mean, we could change the world overnight, but that does have to begin on the individual level. So I think there's a deprogramming process involved, and like we said, a lot of people just don't want to go there. They're scared shitless of actual freedom.
On the religion level, I think it's inherent that they are, all religions are designed to elicit some kind of behavior, some kind of and establish some kind of control, that, you know, if people were to historically refer to religious texts like sacred texts, you know, as by the source, going to the source instead of hearing it from someone else. Like, there are certain things about our communications as human beings that are a failure, a dismal failure, and I think that's also by design. Things, for example, such as by word of mouth, it's good in certain cases, in emergency cases. It's like, there's a fire. You know, but if it's like, we had pizza for dinner and there was pepperoni, mushroom, green pepper, and, you know, it, by the time it reaches, like, the 10th person, it's convoluted. The message is lost.
Right.
So when you have imams and priests and ministers and this and that and the other thing preaching about what's in the sacred text as opposed to what's actually in the sacred text, you know, if people actually read their text, they would know, but they can't tell the difference because they just hear it by word of mouth. So I have a major problem with organized religion, and that's my personal.
Oh, me too, and I'm not an atheist by any stretch of the imagination. I'm a very spiritual person, but I reject all organized religion. And you're right; it has been used as a tool to divide mankind from one another. And as the researcher Mark Fascio points out, you can learn a lot from etymology. Get yourself a Latin reader or a Latin to English translator and just look at some of the words we use. And when you discover the etymological meaning, it blows your mind. The word religion comes from the Latin religare. It means to bind fast, to thwart from forward progress, or to hold back. Well, that's exactly what religion does. Yep. It holds back consciousness, and it causes this great division. Just look at what's going on in the Middle East. It's unbelievable. It's become this gigantic war zone over. Now, Muslims are the new enemy. You know, it's just incredible the way that it divides. And I've always felt that I don't even like the word God personally, because it conjures up too many different images. To me, I call it consciousness. To me, finding God is looking within the self, becoming self-aware, self-actualized, and thinking for oneself. To me, that's where the creator is, within. And I think the greatest teachers always told us this. And I think it's important to step into the light of your own selfhood, meaning don't follow the crowd, don't try to collectivize. That's what the whole New World Order is built on, this whole collectivized false oneness. They hijack everything. They're infiltrators, very incapable of creating. They vibrate at a much lower rate of frequency. So what they do is they hijack and infiltrate like a parasite would. So when they talk of one world, it might sound really good on the surface, but they're talking about one world of subjugation under their thumb. When we talk about it, we're talking about true unity amongst human beings and true spiritual understanding. So it's a big world of difference there. You know, one world order under the elites, it's going to be a world of tyranny and militarized police state and surveillance and just complete enslavement. When we suggest that, we're talking about, you know, respect for all, harmony, peace, all the things we say we want.
Maybe we should be talking about that more. I want, because we've beaten to death sort of like, well, I know I have. I mean, a lot of people do. The 9/11 thing, it's like people who give a shit know everything about it at this point. You know, if they don't know everything about it, well, they're pretty close. But I want to say, you know, the eye at the top of the pyramid, that's the third eye. That's the it doesn't belong to these assholes. They don't own the third eye. And to me, that's an abomination, that people will look at that eye and call it the evil eye, or revere it in such a way that it's to be sort of disassociated with, or to be negated, or to be put down, and that it's not desirable to find your third eye, and yet I know all kinds of music that talks about it, and that it is, you know, it's arrived at. It's not something that happens because you want it to. And you know, I found it through duress and mania. But, you know, Buddha would say, go the middle road and you know, meditate, and it'll come to you at some point. But the point is that it's there to be found, and apparently it's pretty important. I mean, they put it at the top of the pyramid of the dollar bill for the last 80, 90 years, 100 years. And so to them, to these elites with their great ancient knowledge, they believe they have all kinds of power over us by using things that we don't understand against the
yes,
people that don't.
Yes, exactly.
Understand.
Occulted knowledge, I was going to say, that's one of their primary weapons. Is now, the word occult simply means hidden. It comes from the Latin occultare or occultus, which just means hidden. And that's one of the prime weapons of this elite, is this hidden knowledge that they use over us. One in particular is the absolute deep understanding of how human psychology works, because first and foremost, that's how we're manipulated. We actually have to en masse be manipulated to create the reality that they prefer to experience. They're incapable of creation. So we're given outcome-based education. It's almost from the time we're born, we're brought into this whole control structure and raised accordingly, you know, given outcome-based education and TV and familial control structures and the churches and everything, the whole lot of it. So that is one of their prime weapons. And they will put the symbols right in front of you. The problem is that a lot of people are very symbol illiterate. And also, illiterate etymology, where these words come from. And there's another war, too. Words are used as weapons by the Sufi. So words and occulted knowledge, very much so. That eye does represent the pineal gland. And in masonry, you have 33 degrees. There's 33 vertebra in the spine leading up to the skull. So that's what that means. So, yep. So I think, you know, symbolism and etymology are two fields that are not that in-depth of a study, but if you get a semi-basic knowledge of both these two subjects, a whole entire world of understanding will open to you. So I definitely encourage that. With people that listen to my stuff, don't take a damn thing I say at face value. Do your own homework. Get a little bit into symbolism and etymology. It'll change your understanding. And then when it comes to symbolism, I mean, God, you could see occult symbolism everywhere, even on products that you buy in the supermarket, on TV, corporate logos, insignias, you name it, everywhere. And then you start to notice it, and it's just like, oh, my God, how have I never saw this before? But they will come right out and tell you, they don't do it through words, so they do it through symbolism. So if we can decode secret language, it'll open up a greater understanding to us.
So if we could expose the secret language for what it is, like,
yes.
I know in advertising they use the golden ratio to get people to look at one thing and then another on the box or whatever. But I don't know. Symbolism, I mean, I've actually moved into an area where they have masons. They have this upside-down pentagram. Which is like, it's next to the, you know, it's when you enter a little town in Ontario or whatever, they have a sign with all the big clubs all over the sign. And so, yeah, I'm like, okay, the Masons are here and this upside down star or whatever. And everybody's got stars on the doors and on the makes me wonder if it's like a Satanistic town or I don't know.
It's possible. Well, the upturned pentagram, the five-point star upturned in Western magical tradition, symbolizes spirit rising above the four elements. You have earth, air, water, and fire, and the point up is spirit above matter. Inverted, it's basically devolution. These people are worshippers of the ego. True satanic ideology, which is what runs this planet right now, is basically worship of the ego. I'm not talking about devil worship. We're talking about the ideological Satanism, which controls the government. It is about worship of the ego, and it is about meism. Complete, I am my own God, me first. And that's the mentality we see having a grip over the minds of so many. And it's just really sad, and it's really disturbing. But yeah, that's what that symbolizes, spirit into matter as opposed to rising above it.
How would you say we could go about making it cool, you know, fun and interesting and cool and hip? We need to come up with a name for a movement or some kind of like tour de force that basically would sweep the nation, you know, like if it's positive. Because you know what I find? I find to have like influence on the world in a way. I will say things and then people get back to me one way or another. I'm not, you know, tooting my own horn. I'm just saying that I think people who have higher connection or whatever are in tune or blah, 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 actually can affect the world in a way. The way I want to do it is positively. And so what I'm saying is we need to brainstorm ways of making a movement that sweeps the world, probably through the internet, but in other ways too. All ideas are good ideas. Some are better than others, but it would be neat if it was like, I don't know. I mean, it's hard, you know, I've never met you in person and but I've talked to you a few times and I actually trust you and I'm pretty sure that you trust me to some degree, but in other words, I'm not saying please trust me, I'm saying I think you trust me. But I, like with everybody else I've met so far, I've made these relationships through the internet, through Facebook, that are so much more valued than the sheepish relationships I have in my personal life.
Yeah. Oh, I know exactly what you mean. It's brought the most wonderful people into life and intelligent people. But to answer your question, I think the use of humor would be a very powerful tool. I mean, you see some of these comedians, Bill Hicks, George Carlin, that have told the truth, like really hard truth, through humor. I think it's great. I know David Icke does it a lot in his lectures. And it's okay to do that. And that researcher suggests that laughing in the face of the control paradigm is very empowering. And I think he's right. Because once we realize that we enslave ourselves, that we give it away, it's a joke that these people have any power at all. They really don't. We give it to them. We give it away willingly. Well, now we're conditioned to do that from the time we're children. That I understand. There is an outside hidden hand, so to speak. But we willingly give it up. So it is almost funny. We want to be slaves, you know.
You crack me up sometimes, actually, when you start laughing. I have to laugh too. Because,
it's contagious.
It is, yeah, for sure. You'd be the gauge or the measure. I'll put out something that's modern, funny, and interesting, and tell me if it's good. You know, I've figured out a lot of things, tools I can use, and I'm good at it. You know, like everything I put my mind to, I really give it all. And this one meme I did of the Twin Towers stuff, in a week it got 10,000 views on Facebook. So I was like,
incredible.
That's pretty cool. that's a week. So
it's fantastic.
I mean, I want to work with people, and I want people brainstorming, and I want anyone who's listening to this. We have to have a central depot to organize. And so I've made one. It's Wake Up World on Facebook, and I'll expand to other social media sites too. But Wake Up World is like, it's not just about 9/11, but it has 9/11 in it. It's about everything, and it's not just for Americans, it's for everybody in the world. So I just started it. There are 37 people on it now. And, I see your posts, and I put them up there because, you know, that's juicy. That stuff's really good stuff.
Thank you.
And, oh, man. It is such a breath of fresh air. You know, you're in a smoky room, and you can't see anything, and then you step outside, and Doug Michael's talking, and you're like, yeah.
Well, I really appreciate it, and I never would have thought. I'm actually very taken aback by it. If anybody wants to listen to my shit, I'll always encourage, do your own homework. If it's a starting point, that's great. And I think that the 9/11 research is a very good starting point because the official story is so ridiculous from start to finish, and a lot of people really are starting to see it. They still maybe not want to take it to the next step, but at least that is one, I think, event that we could tear apart and act it as a starting point to, you know, lead to all the other esoteric knowledge that we're into. So, you know, I think there does seem to be a growing audience globally that are looking into this false flag event and seeing it for what it is, and that's a great thing. Because, you know, for me, it started out looking into microchip technology around 1998. I was like, wow, this technology's here. And one thing led to another. And then when the event occurred, I had a couple of years under my belt, but I was still reacted the way, you know, that they want. Oh, my God, what are they going to do about it? I actually caught myself reacting that way. It took me a few days to get my balance back. But it's amazing. Something like that happens, the collective mind is in such shock. It'll just be willing to go give their support to bomb whatever the leaders say, whoever the culprit was. Oh, Iraq did it. Oh, Afghanistan did it. It's just. But now we see, after 14 years, the results. We've got police murdering with impunity in America. We've got surveillance grid system everywhere you go. This endless open-ended war. Congress is a blank check to go bomb whoever they want, and you're paying for it. So, I mean, again, this event was a catalyzing event for this elite to really put their agenda in high gear, and I think people are starting to come around to that. So what you do by devoting your time to that particular event, I think, is very important and crucial. My stuff's a little bit more eclectic. I kind of been a dot connector over the years, and I do see the connection between, you know, false flag and other things, too. And I think it's important to do that, too, to have kind of an eclectic view, be able to compare and contrast and fact-check, cross-reference, all these things that researchers do. But, it's a good one.
Another tap on the back for me, even though I said I wasn't tapping myself on the back, but I feel like if I hadn't made my movie, which was a 2.5-hour documentary, and it's not that great, but still it got, you know, 940,000 views in 2 years. And the point being that if I hadn't made it, I don't know, maybe we would be as a planet in much worse shape. I think of things like that, and then I think that I'm instrumental. I'm a key. I'm part of this, and I can't stop. And I don't think I ever will, until, you know, it's all clear. I mean, really, it's that simple. It is a make it or break it situation. We are at the crossroads, and that.
Yes.
You know, if they take over and they enslave us, we're fucked forever, and it would be very hard to win back the world. And so, you know, we will be like the Palestinians. We'll have rocks and sticks, and they'll have armament and machine guns. And
And this whole lack of care, James, it bothers me. People with children that they brought into this world. I have two. They're adults now, but I really give a shit about the world I'm going to bequeath to my kids. How do these people that have young kids in the world refuse to look at what's going on and think that their kids are going to inherit a world of freedom? It's not going to happen. Not until we first, again, I always stress it, it's an individual thing first, then collective. But if the inner contents of the psyche are in shambles, you cannot expect to see any kind of change in the outer world. And the reason why we even have this slavery system is because the collective consciousness is basically infected with a parasite, metaphorically speaking, of course. I kind of see it as a consciousness parasite. Mm-hmm. You know, we need to address it, and a lot of people, it's not an easy thing to do. It's difficult, actually. So I think a lot of people don't want to go there, but it's necessary.
A lot of people,
unless they want to be slaves, you know. Yes, they do.
They have their head up their ass, like, my government would never do that to us. I trust my government, and the TV doesn't lie. You know, like, lying right to their face, and they just don't see it. And I wish there was some way to expose it all. Like, bam! You know, like, here you go. And everybody's, like, shocked. And, you know, it takes a bit of a shock to... Like, I was rambling on about how 9/11 was prepared for us in predictive programming and the 9/11 and stuff. Well, when the shock hit, it wasn't as much of a shock because everybody accepted it. They were ready for it. We're almost done. Well, thanks, Doug. Is there anything else you'd like to say?
My pleasure.
That's it? All right.
It was my pleasure. Thank you very much for having me. Again, I appreciate it. Any time that I'm available, I'll definitely make myself available to do this.
Okay.
So keep plugging away, man, and I will too.